I don't know whether there are also other fellow visitors coming out of town or from the neighboring parishes. If you are here just like me, feel welcome. I feel welcome. My dear brothers and sisters, we recall that the early Christians used to gather in hiding for the celebration of the breaking of bread. With the passage of time, the understanding and the liturgy of the Eucharistic celebration developed into the kind of what we have today. And for us in the Catholic Church, the Eucharist is the source and summit of our Christian life. Our understanding is that a worthy celebration of the Eucharist is the most profound form of service that humanity can ever render to God. And that is rightly so, because celebrating the Eucharist is not a mere remembrance of what happened on Holy Thursday, but a participation in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, as St. Paul has reminded us in tonight's second reading from his first letter to the Corinthians. It is our major form of adoration, our major form of worship, our major form of thanksgiving, our best way to pray. In the year 1264, Pope Urban IV saw it fitting to institute a feast upon which we celebrate the joy of the Eucharist as the real presence of the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, distinct from the somber mood of celebrating the Last Supper on Holy Thursday. If you recall from Holy Week of how we concluded with Holy Thursday, it was a somber mood. But here we are today celebrating joyfully. As we joyfully celebrate this wonderful feast, tonight's readings invite us to ponder what we consume in the Eucharist and renew our faith in the real presence of Christ's body and blood in the consecrated species of bread and wine, so to obtain the satisfaction for our deeper longing for meaning, longing for real love, and longing for lasting life. After the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses invited the Israelites to pause and remember where they had come from. To Moses, the wandering in the wilderness was not meaningless suffering, but a time of formation of character. God allowed them to experience hunger, to experience thirst, to experience uncertainty, so that they would learn humility and trust. In their time of need, they discovered deeper truth, that life is not sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. They learned that their survival was not dependent on their own strength, on their resources or plans, but depended on the Lord who provided for them day and night. Since they were about to enter and settle in the promised land, Moses also intended to caution them about the temptation that comes with prosperity and comfort. He cautioned them to always remember how God brought them out of slavery and protected them day and night along the way. You might also want to equate that with the time when the whole country here in the United States paused for Thanksgiving. I wonder how many people really ponder how God has been a blessing in their lives, other than just coming together and eating turkey and everything and drinking sometimes too many and fighting. He cautioned them always to remember how God brought them out of slavery and protected them day and night along the way. My dear brothers and sisters, it is so easy to forget the struggles of the past once we become successful in life. For you and me, our wilderness moment may be times of struggle, those times of confusion, or waiting and waiting and waiting, those times of seeing a loved one suffer. It is so easy after we have emerged from those moments of struggle and become self-reliant, well-fed, successful, and comfortable to think that it was because of our own efforts. Yet every breakthrough is a blessing. Every strength and every opportunity are gifts from God. In those tough moments of our lives, God forms and teaches us to trust Him more deeply. The Word of God tonight invites us to remember God's faithfulness, to stay humble in times of abundance, and to trust Him in every season of our life. In tonight's gospel text, a parallel is made between the people of Israel receiving manna in the desert and Jesus is giving of himself to us in the bread of life. Just as manna gave the Israelites nourishment to continue their journey on the way to the promised land, so too the gift of Eucharist is meant to nourish you and me in our journey towards eternal salvation. As the Israelites would encounter many hardships and had to be sustained for such a journey, so the same is true for you and me. Thus, the Eucharist is the nourishment that sustains us on our earthly pilgrimage. It is our food for eternal life and a sharing in the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And so let us always remember what we consume in the Eucharist. We consume the body of Christ. I hope you remember that the last word you hear from someone distributing the Eucharist is the body of Christ. And how do we respond? Amen. That amen is so important. It is so meaningful that you believe that indeed it is the body of Christ. And so please remember to do that. Not to say thank you. You are not appreciating him as if he's just giving you a donut. No. This is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is well received in a faithful and trusting heart. Jesus made the bold statement, talking about himself as the living bread that gives eternal life, shocking many of his audience. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my life for the life of the world." He continues to say, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." Who does not want to be raised on the last day? Anyone here? No. That's why we are here. We want to go to heaven. But surprisingly, as it was at that time, so it is still today, that many of Jesus' followers struggle to accept the real presence in the Eucharist. When many of those listening to Jesus at that time rejected his teaching and began to leave, he did not pause or soften his message. He would not bend the truth to their desires or their sensitivities. Instead, he emphasized the truth that he was revealing in that moment. Brothers and sisters, Jesus continues to invite you and me into that deeper understanding of what we receive in the Eucharist and to be the one to model the faith of those in the Christian family who struggle to believe in the real presence. There are times when we invite our friends who are not in communion with the Catholic Church to come with us to Mass, and sometimes we tell them to remember not to take the Eucharist, or sometimes we forget to tell them not to go and receive the Eucharist, and you leave it to the priest or the one distributing Holy Communion. In those moments when sometimes they are denied, it appears as if non-Catholics who attend Mass are discriminated against at the time of receiving the Eucharist. Sometimes we priests get letters accusing us of being unwelcoming, of being judgmental, of being discriminatory. It has happened to me several times that if Jesus could give bread to thousands without discriminating against anyone, how could I deny the gift of bread to those who want to receive it? But for us in the Catholic Church, the Eucharist is neither the gift of bread nor a symbolic commemoration of the Lord's Supper. It is the celebration of the real presence of the body and blood of Jesus in the consecrated species of bread and wine. Receiving the Eucharist is an intimate encounter with Christ that demands a worthy reception from the communicant, from the one receiving the Eucharist. Before going to receiving Holy Communion, there are several things we are obliged to know and observe. The communicant has to be in the state of grace. Hopefully we remember that. The communicant must have been to confession since one's last mortal sin. If you sinned, and probably you have not yet had the opportunity to confess your sin, but you have perfect contrition, and you intend to confess your sin as soon as you have the opportunity or you meet a priest, then you can worthily receive the Eucharist. But when you are in the state of mortal sin and you know about it, and you go to the reception of the Eucharist, you are doing wrong. The communicant has to observe the Eucharistic fast at least 1 hour before Mass, except for those who are advanced in age, or those who are sick, or those who are attending to the sick. Or, like me, a priest, if I have two Masses, I'm obliged at least to observe Eucharistic fast for the first Mass that I celebrate. A communicant must not be under ecclesiastical censure. You must not be excommunicated. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 27 to 29, uses no simple words to talk about the unworthy reception of the Eucharist. In those verses, he says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and blood of the Lord. A person should examine himself and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." These are words from the Bible, not mine. And so, when we do not give the Eucharist to the brothers and sisters who do not believe in the real presence or who do not discern the body of Christ, to borrow the words of St. Paul, it is not discriminating against them, but rather saving them from bringing judgment on themselves. Dear brothers and sisters, let us always make every effort to partake of the Eucharist worthily. When we partake of the Eucharist worthily, we undergo a quiet and steady transformation. A true disciple is transformed by the very Christ they receive. A true disciple grows into the likeness of godly encounter in the form of bread and wine. Like food becomes part of our body, Christ desires to become part of our every being, of our thoughts, of our words, of our actions. We begin to see as he sees. We begin to love as he loves. We begin to serve as he serves. That is when we receive worthily the Eucharist and we are transformed. With this transformation, we must recognize the body of Christ in others, especially those on the margins of our society. And so, dear brothers and sisters, tonight as we celebrate this beautiful feast, let us renew our faith to receive Christ with devotion and to become him in love. The Eucharist is not just about Christ coming to us. It is about Christ living through you and me who receive him. May the Lord be with you.